Hello and welcome back to the Uncommon Podcast, a podcast about two creatives and their unusual journey. I'm Alejandro Mejías and next to me, as always, is Oliver Muñoz. Today we're going to talk about our product design studio, Uncommon. We'll talk about how we define our ethos, our design process, and our purpose as an agency. And we're also going to share some anecdotes from the process, what we learned, and what we could have done differently. Oliver, buenos días.
Buenos días, Alejandro.
How you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you going?
I'm very well. I'm very well. Excited. Excited because today we're going to talk about Uncommon.
What's today's sponsor?
I'm blank.
You got nothing?
I got nothing.
Salsa Tapatío.
Nightcat.
The Nightcat?
The Nightcat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Today's sponsor is the Nightcat.
The Nightcat and Salsa Tapatío. Why one? We can have two.
Well, they are. And yeah, there's salsa in both of them.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Different kinds of salsa.
I love that our sponsors are a hot sauce and a Latin club.
Latin club. Yes. They both need a website.
Nothing to do with what we do. Well, true. Yeah, they might need a website.
They might need a website.
Yeah.
They might need a user journey from...
And we'll give them a spicy website.
They might need a user journey from when you purchase your tickets to go and dance salsa.
All the way to,
you know...
Getting sweaty on the dance floor.
Oh, I was going to say all the way to vomiting in the bathroom, but yeah. We can stop the user journey.
I like the sweating, dancing.
All that spinning might get you sick.
But we're talking about Uncommon. And a lot of people don't know this, maybe. Maybe some do. Maybe not everyone does.
What's this that you speak of?
Well, so, you know, the reason why we are the Uncommon Podcast is because our podcast is about our agency.
Mm-hmm.
Uncommon.
Uncommon is anything and everything that we want it to be, as long as it's uncommon.
That's it. And that's partly why, you know, we named the agency Uncommon, right? Because as we've been saying in previous episodes, like, it's all about being different, being unique. Like, the reason why we're actually Uncommon is because you and I are, we don't fit the mold very much. Not in the environment that we are at least.
No, it's just we are sticking out.
That's
quite
it.
A bit.
It's like, you know, you don't think about two Latinos owning a design agency in Melbourne.
That's a really good point.
That's not our unique selling proposition, but our unique selling point, by the way, it's not. We don't walk around saying, like, by the way, you need to work with us because we're two Latinos. You know what I mean? Like, that's a rubbish.
So what? That would be
USP,
like,
but we do talk about it a lot because it's who we are.
And why? Maybe we should start talking about why we wanted to do this.
The reason, the purpose. Reason.
Yeah, I think you have a pretty good idea of why you wanted to do this.
I think
I don't know why I'm doing it. No, I touched base on it in the last episode and I said I wanted to start a space or a studio where we could choose clients, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
Or being able to say, oh, that it'll be cool to work with these people or and under our terms. So if it was for free or not, you know, like basically create those rules. But also, excuse me, I wanted a space for us to create and implement a creative process.
Yeah.
Which we are going to talk about today.
To me, I think, like, yeah, and I agree with that. To me, one of the main things is, like, I, as a contractor, had worked for so many projects where I felt like the projects didn't really go in the right direction. Like, it's almost like somebody had a great idea and or they were sold something, you know, that wasn't possible. And so, you know, it came to a point where, you know, you do all this work, you put all this effort up front and you get really excited
in
time. And it's from your perspective as a designer, you know, it's like it's effort. And then from the perspective of the business is time and money. Mm-hmm. And then it goes nowhere, you know, because the idea wasn't tested. The idea didn't have legs in the first place. And so I think
you didn't ask the right questions.
Nobody challenged that idea and said, mm-hmm. That's a terrible idea. Don't go with that. Or, like, let's put it in front of people, test it, validate it. Like, that process was talked about and never done. Like, I remember places, mm-hmm. man, like, working in projects where, like, the only validation was the owner of the business. Literally,
I was going to say the director's wife or something like that.
It happens so much. It happens so often. Like, it's like how in this day and age, you know, try to put money into something that you don't even know if it's going to stick. Like, I don't, is that maybe because people, I wonder now, like, is that people who gambling? Like, it is a sort of gambling.
It's a form of gambling.
It is almost a form of gambling, right?
I mean, look, you and I, we are gambling right now by going out there and saying, hey, this is us. And
absolutely, yeah, we're taking a risk.
It may or may not work. Yes. The difference there is that you and I have been doing this for a little while now, independently, and we know we can deliver. We know we can do it. And all we're doing now is like swapping jerseys and saying, instead of being Alejandro's team and Oliver's team, is Uncommon's team.
It's Uncommon. Yeah. I think, yeah, and but like the purpose, it's there, right there and there. Like, we both have experience working independently and as contractors and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then we now come together with the idea of, yes, choosing the projects that we work with and the clients and the partners that we mm-hmm. work with. We by the way, we prefer the word partner as
clients.
Rather than clients. Yeah, because it's like our process is about collaboration. Like, we truly want to bring people along the journey.
True. And yeah, that's what we've been doing.
That's exactly what we do. Like, and so the purpose really of our agency is to help people thrive. Like, we want to make sure that someone comes to us with an idea and we want to be upfront. We want to be honest with them, mm-hmm. tell them upfront whether this is something that's going to stick or simply if we don't know at all, like, and that we need to validate it first.
Yeah, because we don't have all the right answers.
And we may not, exactly. Actually, we don't. We never do.
No.
You never do.
No, actually, people give us the answers because we don't have them. That's the truth, you know.
Pretty much, yeah.
If you come to us and say, "I think this is a really cool platform. What do you think?" Or is that the right question? It's like, well, I don't know if it's a cool platform or not. I think from a personal point of view, it will be yes or no.
Yeah.
But that's personal.
That's point only of view. Personal, exactly.
And you're not coming to us for a personal opinion. You're coming to us for a professional, validated opinion.
That's it.
Or answer.
We're basically going to help you take that idea of yours. We're going to validate it. And then we're going to bring in our experience to deliver it the best way we know and the best mm-hmm. way we can. And it's like, because it happens a lot, like, as well, like talking to the point of somebody saying, I have this cool idea for an app, man. It's going to be amazing. And it's
like in 2006, everyone needed an app.
Needed an app. I mean, till this day, I get people telling me, I have this crazy idea of a product and it's going to do such and such. And then you're like, okay, I see where this is going. Like, you know, you can already assess.
I think it's good to have crazy ideas, but I think it's better if you look into them further and understand if there's actually a market for that.
And that's exactly what we want to do.
Yeah. And I think it's also very important that they understand that by coming to us, we are on board. Like, we are together in this journey and our job is to
guide you.
To guide you and take that idea and
pretty much
take it to the next level.
That's it. This is the thing about Uncommon, right? Like, you know, we don't want to take you, we don't want to take your money just because.
we do want to take their money.
We want to take their money, of course, but, you know, we have to feed ourselves and our families. But, like, we don't want to just take the money and take the project, I should say, for the money. We'd rather take the project to help that other, to help the person thrive, mm-hmm. but making sure that, like, we also, before we even go out and scope out the project, we validate first. And mm-hmm. and that is the point that's sort of a little bit about, you know, our process. Like, we wanna help you go through this design process, right? In a way where you come with an idea, mm-hmm. we understand it better, we validate it, and that's when we actually go okay, here is the scope of your project.
So we, yeah, on that point, we actually have four different stages, right? And there's a discovery stage, which is pretty much what you just said.
Pretty much what we're saying. So yeah, like so someone, let's say, let's role play a little bit here.
Okay.
All right. So I'm a potential client.
Oh, I wanted to be the client.
You want to be the client?
Well, yeah.
Okay, go for it. All right. You're the client.
Hi, Alejandro. Somebody referred me to you and I have this really cool app.
Okay.
That you push a button and then it brings tacos to your door.
Wow, that sounds cool. And
yeah, man.
Yeah, and do you have a market for that idea?
I think so. I mean, my wife thought it was a cool idea.
Right.
And my friends, they always want tacos. And they say, why don't you come up with an app where you just push a button and tacos are delivered?
And did you? So you mentioned it's an app. And why an app?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because everyone has their phones, you know? And I just thought it was easy to, if you open your app and then you push a button and that's it.
Right there. So that's a good example. I mean, obviously, we've exaggerated a lot, but like...
Well, I do want tacos.
You do want an app that delivers tacos. I'm sure you do. I mean, like, and that's the thing, right? Like, so you have an idea, but you haven't tested it. You don't know where your market is. Mm-hmm. You basically are assuming that people will need
that's
that
a key
app.
Word, man. Assumption.
And there's a massive assumption, right?
Yeah.
A few, actually. And so that's the process mm-hmm. of, first of all, discovery. On one end, we're trying to understand better what you're trying to do, what you're assessing more of what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
We try to understand your customer or your potential customer if it's a new product,
mm-hmm.
like depending on, you know, the two. If it's an existing one, we analyze, you know, people who already use it,
yeah.
And if it's a new one, we're trying to investigate what, you know, your potential users would be, and then understand what the end goal of the product is. Like, why do you exist, and do people truly need that?
Yeah, I think that's spot on, man. And a lot of people don't see the value in that, but I think that. And by the way, what we're talking about right now, it's pretty much, it's a workshop. Like, it could be solved in a two-part workshop or one part, whatever, depending on the scale of your business. But basically, we get in there, we create activities, and everyone's involved. It could be virtually or physically there, but everyone gets involved. And the the takeaway from this is not that you just sit there and then we give you the answers or you give us the answers, but...
No, it's collaboration.
It's collaboration.
It's like, that's the whole idea. That's what we want to bring people along the journey. So like, they're there with us, you know, workshopping this idea. And it's like, it's almost like, you know, we throw the idea around, right? It's like we're trying to sculpt this thing, right? So like, everyone in the room, understands what's going on, understands, yeah, like...
Everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, everyone's on the same page, exactly.
Maybe my idea of an app that delivers tacos with drones, I just added that one now, because I like drones.
Cool, sure.
Let's maybe we define on the... Which is actually one of the other... The stages define. Maybe all together we define that you don't need to limit yourself to delivering tacos on a drone or with a drone. Maybe you deliver anything.
And by the way, like that's part of the process as well of discovery, right? Like, you know, you can always find opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
You can validate whether something works or it doesn't work. But when it does, like, you can actually understand how to make it better. At that stage, people, you know, so the part of discovery as well that you know, depending on the project, we also do a bit of research up front.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gives us an opportunity to understand, you know, if the idea was to stick, how could it work, you know, and what things do we need to change in order to make it fit for purpose.
Yeah. And I think after that, so we talked about the discovery stage and then the define stage. That's the two initial stages.
Pretty much.
But once you finish with the define stage, then you walk out of there with a scope and a better understanding, hopefully a better idea of the time, a timeline. How long would it take?
So different to a lot of agencies, I would say, at least in my experience, mm-hmm. you know, instead of us basically taking your taco idea and giving you a scope right away.
I like how just, this just became the
It's going to become, yes, yeah, that's it. Well, we have to use it to explain it. So instead of me saying to you, okay, you have this taco idea, excellent, Oliver, no worries, man, we're going to make it happen. Mm-hmm. This is how much it's going to cost you, and this is our scope. Instead of that, what we do is we charge you upfront for a workshop in which we do the discovery and the definition, mm-hmm. right? And so that's a fixed rate, right? Where, you know, our potential or new customer comes in and, you know, mm-hmm. we bring the partner in this phase together with us. We help them, again, like understand better their audience, understand their goal.
And they walk out of there with something.
And then they walk out of there with the knowledge mm-hmm. and a better understanding of how the product could potentially work, mm-hmm. right? And validation as well of that idea. Like, this is something that actually it's going to fly, man. Like, this taco idea, you know what? It's got some momentum.
Literally, because it's going to be delivered with drones. Well, it's literally going to fly.
That's it. And then at that stage, we give them the scope of the project.
Yeah, it's not until then. Once we understood the business needs, the customer needs, and we've defined what we're actually going to do, it's not until then when we scoped out and we say, okay, this is how long it's going to take. Based on that, this is how much we believe the initial investment will be. And you are free to take that with you and go somewhere else. But ideally, we've gone through this whole process, so maybe you keep it in-house.
Exactly.
And then we do it together.
Exactly.
For the next, you know, whatever, 3, 6, 12 months, whatever.
That's it. We're not holding our partners, you know,
we're not telling them to stick to us.
No. They can freely come to us, mm-hmm. Like choose to do the ideation and definition and get the scope of the project and then go somewhere else. Like they can take another agency or
sit on and think about it.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Mm-hmm. And at that stage, they can go, you know what? I spend a lot less money up front. I validated this idea.
Why would I spend this money with you, Ale? I'm the client again. Mm-hmm.
We're all playing again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why would I spend this, I don't know, we're just going to say $100 with you on this workshop only for you to tell me what I already know. You know, I already know this is going to work. Or even worse, to tell me that it's not going to work. I don't need you to tell me it's not going to work. I want to do this.
Well, let me break it for you, my friend. So, okay, let me put it this way. If you don't know that and you are too egocentric to think that your idea is just going to work, you're going to have a hard time when it's live, because the reality is that you're going to spend all this money and you still think that, you know, your idea is good and you don't care about what anybody else thinks. You put it out there and you realize it's not selling. So you've lost time, effort, money.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Maybe you're okay with that, you know? And if that's the case, well, you know, so be it. But if you're not, if you're someone who, you know, doesn't have just a lot of money mm-hmm. and you have limited budget and you just, you know, you're real about it, it's best if you go through this process, because then you learn, you spend a lot less, and then once you are there, because in this process, if you realize, like, again, like, if the idea is good enough, you can definitely launch it. We can help you do that. But what we're actually helping you is to not make the mistake up front and rather just, you know, build it slowly, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, the flip side of that coin is what you said, is like, what if I already know all of this? Yes, that does happen. And that's why we've splitted our process in the way that we did. If you're a client that comes to us, partner, and tells us, you know what, I've already done all the discovery and definition myself, we can also take you on board.
Yeah,
we're
just going to skip the first two phases.
That's it.
I mean, to a degree, because we also want to understand the business and
we always try to understand
the customers.
Absolutely, we always try to do the discovery phase as much as possible, because mm-hmm. it's the beauty about this process, right, is that if you start from the beginning together, it makes everyone be, it helps everyone be on the same page.
Yeah.
And you want that as much as possible in a project like this. Any project, any design project, really.
Any design project.
Yeah.
And well, that actually takes us to the third stage, which is the design stage.
That's it.
And by the way, this is a process that we came up with. It's inspired in other processes, or you know, in different processes
past experiences.
Past experiences. Thank you, that we've been part of. So we're not saying this is 100% original. We're just saying that we've done this before and we've refined it.
Oh, we're not claiming that's ours. Like it's absolutely not original, but it's what from experience we've learned works the best.
Yeah, and the design stage is it's called the design stage, but basically what we do is we're trying to define aesthetics. We may test wireframes there. You know, once we have a better scope and understanding of the business, that's where we start to iterate on ideas as well.
That's it.
And then start to blend in into, you know, a design interface.
The actual interface, yeah.
Yeah, so if you think about it, this process, you don't really see anything tangible as in your product. Yeah. Up until this stage, right?
Yeah, exactly. But this is where it starts taking shape.
This is where it starts. Yeah, because if you were to do that the other way around, if you go out and then design, that is fine. But I will call that a proof of concept. So that's just something that you went out there, you put together some nice visual graphics or interfaces. And they're really good when you want to go out and get some funding.
Yeah.
You know, they're really good to get people on board and excited and show them what this could be. But it's not backed up by any research or any of the other two
any
stages.
Validation.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think like we call it the design.
Because we've done that before. Phase, we've helped out people with
We have.
With interfaces, and we said, look, man, this is good for you to put it out there and just see if there's any traction. But by all means, it's just eye candy.
Yeah, and
it's
to be honest,
and that's it.
It's like none of this is set in stone, right? Like obviously, this is a process that needs to mold depending on the project and depending on the actual idea and the process. In fact, we talked a lot about how this process fits in quite well with design products, but we're yet to test this with a non-digital product. And just use it, you know, on a different kind of, you know, not a website, not an app, but maybe a system of some kind.
And I want to, currently you and I are working on a project that it's only discovery and define.
We are, exactly,
and that's been going for, it's going to go for
8 weeks in total.
Yeah, well,
a bit more than eight. About 10 weeks, yes.
Yeah. We'll get back to that in a second. But the last stage is deliver. So we have discovery, we have define, we have design, and the last one is deliver. So now...
What is deliver, Oliver? tell us.
Delivering, basically, you create a bit of a style guide and then you hand over this to the partners or to their development team. So if you're already working with someone, as in a back-end, front-end development team, we create the systems for them. So basically, they take what we created, all the documentation, and they put it together in the real world.
That's it.
So basically they build it, right?
So let's use the Taco app example, right?
Yes.
And take it through this process quickly, just to recap. So basically we've gone from discovery, you know, you came to me with this idea of a Taco app, we validated it, we understood your business better and your goal and your purpose, we validated it.
And we understood that if you delivering tacos with a drone, you don't put the salsa first.
Exactly.
It has to be packaged up. It has to be sealed.
That's it. We learn all the bits and pieces that's going to actually make this product effectively work, right? So we defined that as well in the beginning, and then that gave all of those learnings gave us the path to create a scope. Then, you know, we gave the scope to the client. In this case, this is you. You said, yes, this makes sense. And you knew exactly what was coming after. Then we design it. So this is where we give you all the indications of how your product is going to work, like you saw effectively, like how the app functions and looks. Mm-hmm. We obviously generated ideas at that point as well and tested iterated until we got it right. And now we're at the process where we have all the interface ready, and it's at the point where we need to get development in place. So actually, you know, in for lack of a better word, like that's the make it work.
That's a make it work, yeah.
Yeah.
And now the the delivery, the build of, I'm going to call it Paco's Tacos.
Paco's Tacos,
yeah.
That's a really good name.
That's pretty
good. Is that the name of your dad's restaurant?
No, it's called Jalapeños.
Really?
You know, as in jalapeño.
Yeah. Nice.
Jalapeños. No, so Paco's Tacos wouldn't necessarily get built here with us, because we don't have the in-house capability as of today.
Yes.
Right? But we do have the capability to and the knowledge to develop, deliver and hand over to the development team.
Exactly right.
So in the past, what's happened before with branding agencies that we help building the digital part of the project is that their client, they may already be engaged with the development company. So what we do is that we just give them access to the files, and then we are part of that delivery process. So it's up to them if they want to hand that in-house. If they want to do that in-house and we just deliver the process, or they want to bring us on board and then keep tracking along until the product is built.
Yeah, and that's a good point to mention as well. So when we sell ourselves as an agency, we are very, 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 very clear on this, that we don't want to offer every possible design service out there.
Mm-hmm.
And not only design service, but like, you know, we don't want to be a full stack agency that has everything. Instead, what we do is we only focused on what we know best, which is experience design, and go and help people go through this process.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's one of the things that we said at the start. Well, as in when you and I were putting this together, it's like, what do we want to do?
Absolutely, yeah.
Do we want to design logos? Do we want to build these products?
Yeah. Do we want to do both? Because that's the thing. Both? Like,
do we want to do it all?
Yeah, a lot of agencies will take a client and then they go, perfect, no worries. We'll design you the brand and we'll design you the style guides and we'll do the business cards for you and we'll do the website and we'll do the development and the SEO. And it's like, we don't want to do that. Like, sure, there are other agencies offering that and that's cool. We're okay with that. But we don't want to be that type of agency. Instead, like, there's probably, if somebody comes to us with a product from scratch and they do need the brand, what we do is we outsource it to another agency that is probably way better at branding than we are.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely outsource somebody that's better than us.
And that's
in that subject.
That's our model, right? Like, we want to bring in talent that can basically do all the parts that we don't know instead of trying to trick the client to think that we can offer everything.
And I think no, that's very well put, Alec. And not too long ago, early this year, we were talking to this startup, and that came as a referral from a branding strategy studio. They didn't design anything. They just created the brand strategy for them.
Yeah.
And they did the brand, like, design pretty much.
Yeah.
And they wanted to start with the website, which makes sense in this day and age.
Yeah.
And what I said to them is, like, because I was liaising with them directly, I said to them, do you have a brand style guide or anything that is not just a Word document with your ethos and all that?
Yeah.
And they said, no, that's what we need to get created from you. That's what we need from you. And I said to them, look, we could probably do it to a degree, but honestly, I will bring somebody else on board to work on this project.
Yeah.
The benefit of this is that your product, and this is the reason why I was even open to the conversation. I said, the benefit of this is that your product is a SaaS platform.
Yeah.
That down the track, we will be more than happy to take on board, you know, to develop and design and discover more with you.
Yeah.
At the moment, what you need is a landing page, which we could also do, but there's no brand guidelines for us to base that off.
Mm.
So the point of the story is that we decided not to take on that one, and I think that was fine, you know.
Yeah, we're okay with that.
We're okay with that.
Yeah, we're okay with, literally, we're okay with saying no to some opportunities.
We don't want to fool people. We don't want to bring people thinking that, these guys are going to create an amazing brand. It's like, no, they're really good branding studios out there.
Absolutely. You know? There are plenty, by the way, especially here in Melbourne. Like there are in Australia, actually.
And very, very talented.
Very, very talented. And so we much rather get them to do what they do best, and then we can do what we do best. And then everyone wins. The client's happy. Our partner is happy. That's our goal. We want to specialize. We don't want to be a do-it-all type of agency.
No, man. And I think it'll be good if we talk about one of the projects that we're working on at the moment. It's still very confidential. As in, you know, we can disclose.
We can't probably disclose a lot, but yeah.
The way we work with this, what we're doing at the moment is that, excuse me, this project only falls, I would say it falls only within the first two stages of a process.
Yeah.
You know, discovery and define.
Yeah.
Which is very heavy on your side of the business. Yeah. So basically you're leading that at the moment. And there will be a point in that process where I will come in to start creating those interfaces, but you're very, helping. Very small, just all with the purpose of just testing.
In this case, it's just as a proof of concept, effectively.
It's pretty much it.
That's what we're doing. But a proof of concept that is backed up with a lot of research.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what we proposed. We said, look, we can do the research. We suggest we created a timeline, which is about 8 to 10 weeks, I think we said.
Yeah.
From the top of my mind, I think that's what we said. And then we bring in different stakeholders on board, and everyone's getting involved, and different parts of the business.
We're trying to collaborate with the business a lot, trying to get different parts of the team within their business to, you know, I guess, yeah.
All hands on deck.
Be part of the journey. That's, again, like, just to our point of collaboration. We believe that in that. And it might sound cheesy, like, oh, yeah, we collaborate. But it's like...
Is it true, though?
It is. Like, and I think that's what makes a massive difference. Like, when everyone's on board from the start. You know how we always have this trouble? Like, I actually have a lot of trouble with presentations and presenting work. And the reason why is because I feel like sometimes you deliver presentations. And by the way, it's not a perfect, I know it's not a perfect scenario, mm-hmm. but I feel like sometimes when the client or a separate team have not been involved because you chose not to involve them, by the way, mm-hmm. Then when you present them the work at the end, they don't feel as engaged. They don't have the same buy-in as if they were
part of it
with you from the start.
Yeah.
You know, like some of the insights that you find during research, and I'm going to talk about research at this stage, are very difficult to explain in the same way than when you see them yourself, right? Like that is such a profound thing. Like, it's so powerful when you get a client to see what someone testing the product said. You know, or says right there and there.
It's coming from the source.
Yeah, if they see it with their eyes, they hear it with their ears. Honestly, man, it's like
smell with the nose.
Yeah, everything.
Taste with the mouth.
Everything with all the senses. If they can capture that with all the senses, it's so powerful. It's a massive difference from that experience to trying to put it in a slide and say this is what the user said, this is what the participant said.
Yeah.
So different.
That's a big challenge right now because this whole time we've been doing it remotely.
Actually, yeah. Yeah.
We haven't met, apart from the, you know, the 3 hours that we've been out of lockdown in Melbourne, you know, in the past year. It's all been remote, man. And it's all been, we became best friends with Miro and Google
and a few other tools
and Teams.
They actually going remotely has thrown some spanners in the works, but it's not impossible.
It's not impossible, and we adapted the systems.
We have.
I think it's fair to say that from the beginning, you and I said this has to be accessible for everyone, no matter where they are. All the systems need to be online.
Yes.
If we get the chance to bring people physically to an office, you know, call it a panel or a workshop or whatever, for workshops or anything, that's awesome. You know, that's great. That's a plus.
Yeah.
But from the start, we said, this is how the systems need to work. And
yeah, because like it, realistically, we may not be in the same place all the time. And so we still want our agency to work, whether we're, you know, centralized or decentralized. Actually, that's one of our episodes coming up in this season. We're going to talk about the differences and what we like. But
yeah, but with this project, point being that with this project that we're working on, we haven't met anyone face to face just yet.
No, not yet. We haven't actually.
And yet,
it is crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy, man. And yet, you can feel the excitement. It's been built up as we progress with the research, as we show findings. You know, we have all this. We have the sprints and the showcases every week or so, every couple of weeks. And it's really exciting to see how people are getting on board more and more and more. And
they've come along the journey for sure.
Yeah, 100%. At the start, they were very hesitant of, you know, because there's a lot of sensitive data that we're handling.
Yes.
From people's experience. And they were very hesitant to share anything, you know, or to even give us access to the people that we needed to talk to. And along the process, they were like, oh, no, we can't do this, or it's too hard. And I think you did a great job at selling that idea of the why we needed to talk to all these different...
Bit by bit. Not just me. I think, like, I'm also getting a lot of help.
Well, you are, but I'm saying you as in, because you're the expert in the
room. We're trying to drive that conversation a little more to make them comfortable with that. And that's all about the research. So like that data that you're saying, just for a bit of context, is like the talking to people to do research. It's been a bit of a challenge because the sensitive data around that and this partner that we're talking about is not used to that process. So there's been a bit of education as well along the way, which is very important.
And they've been saying every time at the end of the sprint showcase, they're like, oh, this is amazing. It's so good. You know, it's finally coming along. And
we're building a lot of trust, actually.
We are. And they haven't even seen anything tangible like a product or anything. It's just research and findings. And it's great to see how they come around such a long way.
Yeah, it is. It is very rewarding to see. And I think like on the point of that, like it's like when you bring someone along the journey, they also trust you that, you know, you're doing the right thing. And I want to use this as a segue to one of the things we talked about. We were going to, you know, explore a little bit more in this episode, which is how we deliver value and we do so by not justifying time spent.
Yeah.
And basically
this
is something that I think excites you as well, because like you do hate that idea of just punching in hours and justifying every
minute,
second that you spend on something.
Yeah. And I think in other words is that we hate time sheets.
Yeah, put it in a different way.
Yeah. Nah, man, I think nobody likes them. Everybody uses them. I think they cause stress for the people.
A lot of people use them. Yeah. Yeah. Not everybody, but a lot of people use them. And they can be actually quite...
A lot of people use them. I've always used them. But I said, you know what? This is it. Like, I'm sick of them.
You used to use them a lot in your contracting life.
Yeah. Sorry. That's what I meant. Yeah. Yeah. 100% all the time.
I did as well.
If you're working for an agency and you came to that agency or that studio through a recruitment agency, you have to fill in two sets of timesheets for that one job.
Yes. It was crazy.
It was crazy.
It is crazy still. Like that's a system that is still in place. And we want, and that's like, what we don't want that. We said, like, that's one of the things we said, Uncommon.
Yeah.
It's not going to do that.
No, we don't want to do that because we don't want to be those staff members that dedicate their lives to chase people around to filling timesheets
That happens a lot, man.
Like we believe that by scratching the timesheets, we allow ourselves to deliver value over cost.
Over cost, absolutely. I mean, it is something that...
There's a reason why we do the scope at the start of the project.
Correct. And I think that's... it comes to two things. It's the process, sticking to our process, mm-hmm. and then also building the trust with our partner, right? Like, making sure that they are not, you know, expecting the justification of why we spend 10 hours on something.
And you kind of have to have an hourly cost for your services just as a baseline, right?
Yes.
But I think all that goes out the window when a project all of a sudden becomes a 3-6 month, 12-month project. You know, you're not going to be charging by the hour.
Yeah.
Like we're not lawyers, right?
Yeah.
And also we don't want to just keep looking at the clock every time. It's like, oh, I just allocated myself 10 hours to this.
It's not a suitable system for designers either, I find. Like, it's
so stressful.
It is stressful. It just doesn't work. It's not efficient in any way.
I don't think it allows for the creative process to evolve.
And I have not met anyone yet who tells me, I actually, you know, truthfully spend 6 hours on this task, and that's what I'm putting down in the timesheet. Like, instead, what a lot of people do is they just figure, they just ballpark the number.
I worked at a place where I've been at both sides of the spectrum, right? Yeah. So, and I put in a LinkedIn post once a few months ago. I worked at agencies where if they see you have 30 minutes free on your calendar, they'll book you in.
Meaning
that you may or may not have lunch.
Oh, like, man.
No, seriously. And I've worked at places called startups where they're only allowed to book you in for 6 hours a day. That's it. That's all they allocate for hours of work. And on top of that, they allocate one day a week where there are no meetings. There's no meetings. No one's allowed to book meetings on that day of the week.
Wow.
Yeah, unless the other person, unless the both parties agree, right?
Right.
But yeah, by allocating 6 hours of work, that meant that you have time for all the sprint reviews, what do we call it, the rituals.
Yeah.
To having lunch, to going to the bathroom, because
wow,
people go to the bathroom. Yeah.
Yeah.
They will allow time for you to get up, go out for a stretch, get a coffee next door.
Just be a human being. Literally, like, just do all the basic things that a human does.
Yeah, man, going to the bathroom and going for a walk around the block.
Yeah,
you know? And that's where I think allocating hours is beneficial. You know, just to understand that people have to do other things apart from sitting in front of the computer.
Yeah.
But man.
It is an interesting one. And to be honest, like, you know, we're still trying this. Like, obviously, we want not to use timesheets as much as possible, and we've tried to, you know, have that in our DNA, the DNA of Uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we're also in the process of testing our own process. You know, like the in the same way that we do with our partners, we are testing our process, and it's an ever evolving.
This may or may not
process.
Work. You know,
it may not.
We might get an accountant down the track and say, "Hey, you guys actually need to punch in some hours so
exactly.
I can make sense of your numbers, because otherwise, it's not going to work."
But that is the beauty of what we do. We can test. We can learn. We can iterate.
Yeah, man. Should we leave it there for now?
Yeah, I think we have some good stuff anyway coming out in the next episode.
Yeah, so, oops, sorry. Can you hear me there?
We can hear you. We haven't lost you.
I keep stuffing up this, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
get nervous with the outros, huh?
Last episode, I stuffed up the outro.
Oh, man.
I'm just going to own that one, man.
You have to.
I'm just going to own it.
You have to.
But in the
what are we going to talk about next episode?
In the next episode, we're going to talk about the story and process of our brand studio.
That's going to be
how
really
we branded
cool,
our
man.
Studio.
Yes.
Why we didn't do it ourselves. It's really hard.
It's super difficult to design for yourself.
And instead, why we outsource the task to somebody else.
Ooh, love
See
it.
Man.
See you guys.